points for my message this morning. This first one says, remember from whence thou art fallen. And I want you to think with me just for a second. Can you remember the day that you were saved? Can you remember that? And how your life has been since then? You know, part of us being able to take steps forward is to remember where we've come from. Because if we forget where we've come from, taking the steps into the future, it's very likely that we'll repeat some of those same mistakes. God doesn't want us to repeat mistakes. He wants us to remember and to walk according to His principles. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17 will say it like this. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So I can remember, you know, how I was living my life before I was saved a little bit. Now, if you were saved when you were 5 years old, it's probably tough for you to remember. But all you have to do is look around at some of your friends and you can say, well, I would have been just like that. You know, except by the grace of God, that's how I would have been. I'd have been lost. But God intervened in my life. You know, He intersected my history and He changed my direction. And I need to remember that. I need to remember that He changed my life. He made something different out of me. I could have went this way, but instead, He took me this way. And now I need to remember. Because if I don't, if I think that it doesn't matter that much, it is very easy to get swept away by the theology of the wicked one. You know, he wants me to think things like this. He's like, you know, you're really the last of the Christians. That you just need to prepare yourself for eternity. Because it doesn't matter about those guys anymore. There's nothing that you can do to reach them. And it's not true. God is still in the soul-saving business. We've seen that. We've seen that here at Bethany within the last year. Souls have been saved. Noah has made a testimony of faith. Caden has, and Sarah has. And Brother Sean, he's come back. So we've seen that here at Bethany. And we don't know however many others that might have been touched. We need to remember. We don't need to get caught up in the message of the wicked, but to let the Spirit lead us in everything. Otherwise, we'll get swept away. Ezekiel 16, verse 63, will say it's similar to this. It says, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified towards thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. See, if we forget where we've come from, we're going to be ashamed. Because we've got a mission that God has given to us. And it's not to host parties at the church. That's not what it is. It's not to present a concert every Sunday. That's not what it's about. It's about tearing the idols from our life and leading others to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's what we're supposed to be doing. God even tells the Israel in Ezekiel, He said, that thou mayest remember and be confounded. Because where were they? These were people that claimed Abraham as their father, and they went into captivity, and they saw the mighty works in Egypt. All the plagues that God brought on Egypt, yet they themselves were safe and secure. And then they got to the Jordan, and it opened up under the leadership of Joshua. And they saw that during his day. And they saw the walls of Jericho fall. Yet when they got comfortable in the book of Ezekiel, shame came on them. And they turned their backs on their deliverer. And they sought after other things. And they've lost their witness. And they lost their testimony. You see, when people get comfortable, it's easy to fall into that trap. And that's the trap that the wicked one, the devil, offers to us. Because he doesn't want us doing our job. He wants us, no, you don't, let someone else do it. You don't need to do it. we need to remember. Because what if when we were lost, I don't know when you were saved, whether it was when you were young. Maybe you were saved when you were young. What if your parents had never gone to church? What if they decided, oh, it's all good. We don't need to take our kids to church. We don't need to have them study God's Word. What if that had happened? Where would you be today? Would you be where you're at? Would you have gotten saved? Would you know that my eternal destiny is heaven and not hell? Probably not. See, they were doing their job to the best of their ability. And you can probably say that about your kids. I had them in church. They got to know the Lord. And it's time for the next generation to do the same thing. Well, that's what we're doing. We've got to keep pressing forward, pressing towards that mark. We can't give up. Not until Jesus calls us home. We must remember. And then when we look here in this verse, it says in Revelation 2 and 5, it tells us to repent. Repent from what? Repent for forgetting from whence we've come. It's too easy to forget. It's too easy to get comfortable. And he says, I want you to repent from that. Yeah, maybe you're not living a life of sin, but maybe you've forgotten a little bit. Maybe you've gotten distracted. Those aren't necessarily sins, but God says, I want you to repent from that because people need you. There's still a lost and dying world out there. They need you. They need you to engage and to not give up the witness, but to keep praying for them, to keep trying. Even if they reject you, you keep trying. Because that's our job as a Christian, to be the witnesses, to be faithful to this, and to do that first work. What's the first work? Well, if you've never been saved, you might not understand this. But if you're saved, you understand the first work. What's the very first thing that you want to do when you're saved? You want to tell somebody else. Do the first work. Plug back in. Don't give up. You think that you can't? Find something that you can. To be the witness. To honor God with whatever it is that He's given you at this time. He's given you something. Malachi 4 and verse 6. Read that scripture with me. It says, And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. And he says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. What's the first work? He wants your heart to turn back to the children. Why would he say something like that? Let me give you an example from the scripture. If you want to follow along a little bit, you can look back in 2 Kings with me in chapter 22. There's a young man here. His granddaddy was just a piece of work. Caused his children to be burned in the sacrifice. He didn't mind his children being taken out by the abortion clinic. He didn't mind that at all. And then he had a son who wasn't any better than he was. You see, he had well trained his son. You know, that's something that parents need to understand. You are training your children, whether you think you are or not. The ones who you're letting them be an influence by, you're letting them train them. It's a very important concept for us to understand that people are teaching our kids something. Whoever it is that's around them, that's why I want my children to be around people like you, because I know you're trying to live right, you're studying your scripture, you're here as often as you can be, and I want my children to be around people like that, because you're teaching them something. You're teaching them faithfulness. All through the years, you've dedicated your life to it. Josiah didn't have that. And he comes on the scene, and he's 8 years old. Who in here? Do we have someone here that's about to be 8 years old? Dixie, are you stand up in the back? Stand up so everybody can see you. Dixie's going to be 8 years old in March. Is that right? Can you imagine Dixie about to take over the monarchy? She's about to rule this joint. Well, that's where Josiah was. You can sit down. 8 years old. But you know something? His dad had died. His granddaddy had died. And he had godly mentorship from the high priest and from some other counselors. And they were dedicated their life, and they were trying to teach him the good things about God. But there was a problem. During the grandfather's and his son's life, that they had neglected the church. They had neglected the temple. They had neglected the things of God. The Bible hadn't even been read. They lost God's Word. How many houses can you go in and they don't know where their Bible is? Or maybe you see it and you could write your name on the cover because there's so much dust on it because they haven't opened it. They haven't cherished it. They in their minds, in their appearance, in what they've shown, they lost God's Word. And Josiah comes on the scene, and his heart is sensitive. And finally, some men of God had turned their hearts back towards the child Josiah. This morning when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, God, would you raise up a generation like Josiah? Would you take our children like Maddie and Ben, who's in the nursery, and Emma and Dixie and Noah and Micah and Caden and Isaac and Kaylin, and you would raise up these children to be like Josiah, whose hearts would be tender and accept God into their life? And then I look, well, how does a young person get that tender heart? It's when the hearts of the adults are tender towards the children, then they realize the mistakes that have happened in the past. And they remember from whence they have come, like the Scripture says. And they repent and say, I'm not going to let that go on. I'm going to tell them about how God touched my life and what He's done in my life. And I'll do the first work. And that's what Josiah was experiencing. And he did it. And during his time, he sent a collection. And he says, the house of God, God's work has been neglected. And he says, we need to build an offering for it. And over the next 8 years, 18 years or so, they had collected the money, and they had put it into the house of God, and they had given it to the workers. And there was a man, his scribe, his name, I'm going to mess it up if I don't read it. His name was Saphan, the scribe. That's in verse 8 there. That while they were doing this remodification of the house of God, and they were trying to get their attention back on God, they found something. They found God's Word. They became reacquainted with the Scripture. The priest says, Saphan, I found it. And he read, probably for the first time in Saphan's life, read to Saphan, God's law, His words. And Saphan's like, this is important stuff. And he takes the Bible. He takes God's Word to Josiah. Josiah is about 26 years old now. And for the first time in his life, he's hearing God's Word being presented to him. And he reads God's law and God's work. And Josiah becomes pain in his life, in his heart. You know why? Because God says, if you do these things, I'll bless you. But if you do these things, you'll be cursed. And Josiah, he realizes, we've transgressed God's law. We have violated His Scripture. We are worthy of judgment. Oh, that I wish that America would get a glimpse of that, because we have transgressed God's law. The people in our nation have turned God's, what is good in God's law, and they have rejected it. And they have rejected God, and they don't want my children knowing about God. They want them to be atheists. But I'm telling you that there's no atheist whenever eternity hits. There are no atheists in hell, because the Scripture tells me that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's important to understand, because if you weren't here last week, go back online. You can listen to the message. It was about hell, the pain, the suffering, the screaming that's happening there right now. I wish that God could open up our ears and just give us a little bit of what we can hear. Because it's not a party going on down there. It's eternal pain. The fire is not quenched. And I don't want anybody going there. Josiah didn't want his people going there. And he realized, judgment's coming. America, judgment's coming. Bethany, judgment is coming. And where are our hearts? Have we forgotten from whence we have come? Are we doing the first work in our life? It's time for us to remember. Josiah, he says that to his people, and he rents his clothes, and he's like, what can we do? I don't even know what to do. How do I pray? I don't even know how to pray. And he puts together this committee made up of the preacher, the priest, and his scribe, and he sends them to the prophetess. And he says, go ask her. Go ask her what we can do. Is there anything that we can do? And they go and they find this prophetess. Look with me, if you're in 2 Kings chapter 22, look with me in verse 15. I want to read a couple of verses to you there. And it says, and she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and they have burned incense to other gods, and that they might provoke me to anger, all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to the inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. You see, what we need is we need our hearts to become soft like Josiah. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there these days that's not talking about the judgment to come. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is going to come back. And He's going to come back a lot sooner than what the teachers today want Him to. They think that they can have their pleasure of sin for a season and it's going to be okay. It's not okay. Breaking God's law is sin. All sin is transgressing God's law. How many of the commandments do you have to break to transgress it? One. And you're guilty. Yet we're not thinking about how we've transgressed God's law, how we have turned away from His counsel and His precepts. We think, oh, God is all about love. He never sends anybody to hell. That's not true. Last week, the rich man is in hell. The Scripture tells us that hell has expanded herself. There's a bunch of people going there when they don't have to. And I don't want anybody to go there. I want us to understand that we could humble ourselves before God. Maybe we could delay God's judgment because it's coming. Read the rest of the book of Revelation. You'll see judgment and God's wrath is on a beeline to planet Earth. It's coming. All who are here will experience it. Yet those, if they could do like Josiah, if they could have their heart be tender to God's Word and believe that God really is who He says He is and turn from their wicked ways, that He would do something, He would heal them. Yeah, we might not be able to stop the judgment coming, but we could get a message like Josiah got, that because your heart was tender, I won't make you see all that. I'll let you go. I'll let you come be with me before that happens. Don't you know? Aren't you comforted knowing that God's going to make sure that you don't have to experience His wrath? Because judgment's coming. And we can't stop it for the same reason that Josiah couldn't, because the world has turned against God. Now, we can have some small victories. We can continue to witness. The Noahs can still be saved. The Sarahs can still be saved. The Cadens can be saved. The Shawns can be brought back. God is still working. Yeah, maybe those victories seem small, but I guarantee it, when they get to heaven, they'll think the victory has been great. Because I'm saved. And I'm not going to have to experience that. And you're going to look over to your left and you're going to see Josiah. Josiah, why were you like that? And he'll tell you, because there were some men and women in my life who taught me about God and who were brave enough to tell me the truth of the Scriptures, who weren't afraid to hold back and show me that judgment was coming, but they felt like it's important for me to know these things. And I was convicted because of the transgression that I saw in my granddaddy and my father and of the people around and maybe even in his own life. And he says, and I repented and I didn't want that destruction to come. And it pained me to know that so many of my people, my family and my friends, we're going to see this destruction. And that my nation was going to reap the rewards of their abominations. And I didn't want that to happen. And I prayed. And God told me the answer. He said, Josiah, they're not going to all of them won't repent. But you can have an influence on a few. On the remnant. On the ones that would hear and that their hearts would be softened like yours was. And he would send the message back, just like we read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember, saints, remember. Churches, remember from where you've come from. Remember what our job is. Don't lose focus. Repent if you have forgotten and turn back. Turn back to God. Do the first works. I want to read you one more thing that Jesus said. If you look with me in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 42. Jesus is talking about stewardships. And I believe it's probably the stewardship of the church. At verse 42. And he says, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. I'll tell you who that faithful steward needs to be. It needs to be Mitch Doss. It needs to be the members and the friends and acquaintances of Bethany Baptist Church. We need to be good stewards. What are we going to be good stewards of? God's testimony. And present Him truthfully and faithfully, without fear, unapologetically, making sure that those who are lost know the truth of what's coming. Continue to read with me. He says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so." Jesus is going to come back. He has made us stewards over the mission here. And he says, "I'm coming back. I want to find faithful stewards. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Verse 45. "But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit those things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men shall have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God has given us a lot. And from a lot, much will be required. He wants us to be faithful stewards. Not to forget, but to remember. Because if we forget, we'll become like the slothful part of that. We won't treat our fellow Christians correctly. We won't have a broken heart for the lost. We won't be as willing to reach out to them, to be able to and tell them that there is a loving Savior who died for their sins. And tell them of hell to come and the wrath and the judgment that awaits a lost person. We won't hold back. He doesn't want us to do that. He says those that do, it's not going to be pleasant for them. And He has given us a lot to work with. How should we proceed? Here's Jesus' advice from Revelation 2 and verse 5. Remember. You don't want to be a slothful servant? Remember from whence you came. Remember where you came from. Remember how you were saved. Remember the ones who stood up to teach you the Sunday school lesson, the preacher who stood up to preach, the ones in your family who were willing to share the Bible story with you. You remember. And if you've neglected that, you're tired of neglecting it, and you repent from it and say, "Lord, I'm going to do better. Show me where I can be. I don't know what my gifts are. Show me what my gifts are. Help me to plug in. Help me to fix this. Help me to do the first works." That's his advice to a modern Bethany Baptist Church. How should we step forward by faith? By taking advice from Revelation 2 and verse 5. The song